would like to present our district overseers, Bishop Patrick Phillips, who is going to come and bless our heart this morning. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you very much. You may be seated. It appears I am holding up the program, so I will use a lot of shortening. I put the beginning and the ending as close as possible, and so we could go back to honoring the first family. Let me greet the church, to all the ministers, deacons, leaders, mothers. Great to see you, Sister Agnes. All visitors, friends, loved ones, you are here today for a special occasion of honoring or showing appreciation to our pastor and First Lady, Bishop Eric Joseph, Eric and Amy Joseph, and family. It is a pleasure to honor our leaders. We are often saying it, that it is best to give the roses while they're alive. Though some people give thorns, but it's best to give the roses while they are alive. I'm just messing with you. Don't take it personal. And so we want to really let them know that we love them. I'll say that part again. We want to really let them know that we love them. Bishop Joseph, Sister Amy, we love you. We love you very much. And the daughters of Tiffany and Jameel, we love you too, guys. We know you're going to grow up big, doing great things, maybe doctors or lawyers or preachers or evangelists or missionaries. I don't know. But we're looking for big things from you guys, because we know you have potential. And so we want to say we love you guys. Thank you very much, Pastor Joseph, for your support, your love to myself and my family, to the church, and thank this church as well for the support. And I'm speaking in advance. I like to prophesy. I'm saying it, speaking those things as if they are, for expect them to be. Thanks very much for your support, for your love, cooperation, and for the job that you're doing. And I'm sure we're getting there. Whatever there is, wherever there is, we're getting there. And so there, hopefully, that this will be a week celebration and not one day. I'll throw that out again. I say I'm fishing. I'm just casting out my bait out there and see what would bite. Hopefully we will get there, that it will be a week celebration and not one day. Amen. Therefore, maybe after the Sunday or the week before the Sunday is the icing, the climax, the finale. We probably have one day where we wash the car. The other day, send them out on a spa. Get hairs done, massage, and nails, and then maybe the Wednesday night, we pray for them. Mm-hmm. And the Thursday, we take them out for a dinner, or send them out. And then probably Friday, we show up there and says, we take care of the house today. Maybe we get the guys to go there on a Saturday and take care of the lawn. Cut the lawn, and well, that's if it's in the spring or summer. If it's in the winter, then you snow shovel up the snow. And then come to church on Sunday, and we just celebrate with them. and then send them off on 2 weeks to Aruba or maybe Alaska or wherever. Just send them off. Amen. I'm throwing it out there, you know. I don't know. Maybe we'll catch on to something. But honoring those who really serve among us, it's a pleasure. And to God be the glory. See, my philosophy is that there will be bigger stuff ahead. For God started in a garden in Genesis, and he end up in a city in Revelation. He's a big God. He does some big stuff. And so where we are going, they say heaven is better than this. And you know, you got those scientists and philosophers and those great thinkers who always think foolishness, as far as I'm concerned, think that we're thinking of that pie in the sky. Well, if it's a pie in the sky, I want a slice. Count me in. Because the God that I serve does great things and wonderful things and blessings beyond. The scripture says clearly that eyes have not seen. Now, we have about, what, 7 wonders in the world? Well, let me tell them, those architects and engineers, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither had it entered into the hearts of men the things that God has prepared. My Lord, I'm dying to go to heaven. Just to see what God has set up and just to stay with him. You know, hang on, I don't want to come back. Amen. But today's your day, and we're here to honor you, the Joseph's family, and Pastor Joseph, and want to let you know that we love you. If we didn't say it last month, last year, last night, or whenever we're saying it now, we love you. And even though sometimes you have to talk to us hard, we love you still. Amen. 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 Still love you. So don't stop talking to us hard. Amen. Yes, don't stop talking to us hard. Because I know you love us. And we want to show our appreciation to us. I'm asked to share with you this morning from the Word. And our theme for the pastor's appreciation from the Church of God is kingdom advancement with our pastor. Kingdom advancement with our pastor. And that is something that is resonating in my spirit for our district. As I've asked to take this district, I'm looking for support, and I'm pleased to have Pastor Joseph giving me encouragement and support, and I'm thanking him very much. And so to speak here today, I will try to be a preacher, to speak and preach. That's a preacher, not a preacher, but a preacher. You're going to speak and preach. So I'm going to try to do both at a consigned time. Because I know you want to get on to the rest of stuff that you have already planned. I was only a job in the midst. I'll do what I'm asked to do. I'm sharing and the text that they have, kingdom advancement with our pastor, is from the book of St. John 4:36. But I want to share from a different text, and that has its place. From 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 to 7. Very unusual, though, you may ask. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 1 to 7 reads like this, and you know this, most of you. This is a true saying. This is Paul writing to his son in the faith, Timothy. If a man desire an office of a bishop, he desired a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant. And I always emphasize that. One wife.
That's right.
Thank you. Vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine nor striker, not greedy or filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. From this text, there are some things that pops at us. That there are snares set for pastors. That there are qualities of good characters for pastors. So therefore, the character for pastor is in this text. See, in this critical hour that we're living in, millions of hearts are besieged by fierce perplexities of life, with so many established landmarks of the spirit gone. The landmark of the church's operation is gone. The church needs men who know the world around them, knowing the God above them, and the Christ that called them, and the Holy Spirit within them, will set the trumpet of the gospel to their lips and proclaim the Christ, Lord and sovereignty, that is all sufficient. In this age that we're living in, where many preachers are preaching on how to relieve stress, how to build businesses, how to organize your iPod and grow greener grass, we need men who will stand up and be faithful to exposit the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. The church don't need motivational speakers. The church don't need psychologists or life coaches or advisors. We don't need politicians in our pulpits and financial advisors or social commenters. Nor do we need unsaved Christian counselors. What we need today is pastors like the Josephs, spirit-filled, anointed by the Holy Ghost, who preach the word and declare, thus saith God, and speak for God, and said what God demands of them. Men and women who will preach the word in season and out of season, when it's like and not liked, when it seems applicable and not even applicable. Men and women who will declare, thus saith the Lord. And I have a problem with that, because there's some people believe God don't speak still. But the last time I checked, the scripture says he has a ears that still hear, and he has a mouth that still speaks, and a hand that still touches. We have a God that is still alive, and he still speaks to his people. And that's what we need in our churches today, is men and women who will stand up and declare what God says. Men who are on fire because they are living in the presence of an eternal fire, Jehovah God. Men who are faithful in their preparation and faithful in their presentation and faithful in their prayers, faithful in their practice, and faithful in perseverance. We need men who will give complete attention to both ministry and prayer as well as ministry of the word. Too many are coming into ministries these days who are in it for the business. They are in it for fame, to be called bishop. I'm going to heaven and they ain't going to call me so bishop over there. Hallelujah. But too many are coming into the ministry, getting behind the pulpit, starting churches who have no intention for souls. They are called pernicious wolves, trying to destroy the kingdom of God and make wrong sayings against the God that we serve. But what we need is men who will stand up and fight the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need men who will keep their mind focused on the mind of God, who will keep their eyes focused on the Son of God, who will keep their heart filled with the Spirit of God, and stand up and preach to anyone who will listen about the truth that means to follow Jesus Christ and to follow Him with total submission, with sacrifice, and with service, that Christ may receive what He desires, what He deserves, and what He demands. We must have preachers in our pulpit, in our churches, who are living, who live holy, who love holiness, who stand for holiness. What we have with us is a pastor, a father, a husband, a caregiver, a friend, a builder, a visionary, one who know that he's called and know who called him. And so we are here to honor that family today. We want to honor him because he loves us and we love him. We want to honor him because he know how to lead us and we want to follow him. We want to honor him because he's loyal to God first and to his family and the church. We want to honor him because he's a living example of what a Christian ought to be. The ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about character. The godly character of a man who has taken the mantle of preaching is absolutely necessary if he's going to have an effective form of leadership for the body of Christ, and if he's going to ever bring glory to God, he must have godly character. There's a huge difference, folks, between one who has character and one who has reputation. See, reputation is what you're supposed to be, but character is who you are. Reputation is what you have when you're into a new community, but character is what you have when you leave that community. Reputation is what is made in a moment, but character is built for a lifetime. Reputation grows like a mushroom, very low, but character grows like an oak tree. Reputation is learned about in an hour, but character develops in light years for time. And we need people, men and women, to lead our church with our people of character. See, Jesus was a man of character. He wasn't so much of a reputation, because when he enters into a place, they know that he's coming to do good. Hallelujah. And when he leaves, they want him back. They always want Jesus back. They want the wandered after Jesus. Some follow him for fish. You got it. And bread. Hallelujah. Amen. And he turned to his disciples one day and says, "Will you also go?" But I think Peter is like me. He says, "Where shall we go? Because you have what we need. You are the bread of life. You are a substance for tomorrow. You are our El Shaddai. You are our Jehovah Jireh. You are our source. And we have nowhere else to go but to hang with you. You know what I hate about some folks in church? They love to church hopping. Soon as you talk to them, they want to quit. I wish we have people who are grounded in the faith and ready to go places for God, that you can instruct them in righteousness and talk to them hard sometimes, and they stay put because they understand that if you want to be come out at pure gold, you have to go through the fire. Hallelujah. Character. One who need the word of God. A person of character knows that he need the word of God. The need for God's word is not knowing about God, but knowing God. We want to grow in the knowledge of God, not in the knowledge of knowing about God. The apostle Paul said to the Philippians that I may know him. Paul speaking about Jesus, that I may know him and the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. But some people don't like to do the fellowship part of suffering, but they want the power. But Paul says, I want to get to where I know him. I'm hooked up with Jesus. I'm into Jesus so much that everything about him rub off on me, like Moses coming out of the mountain 40 days. He was shining like the glory of God. When we are joined on to Jesus, when we are in his words are light and life, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? But by taking heed to the word of God. Thy word, Lord, is settled in heaven. Now, heaven and earth will pass away, but not one tittle, nor jottle, nor full stop, or cross your T's will pass away out of my word. My words are forever. And so I want to get hooked up to the word and joined on to the word. And like a pastor who is in the word, he will have character when his life is modeled by the word, when he lives by the word, when he gives off the word. Some folks listen and watch other programs and know what series is coming on. They know what channel to change to, at what time. They're in tune to the radio, or they're in tune to their iPod, or they're in tune to their music, or in tune to their television programming. But when it comes to the word, they can't quote scripture. They can't tell you something. It can't motivate them. It doesn't come into their spirit for them to speak the word over your life. But they will talk all kind of foolishness. But these are the days that we are living in, that we need to be people of the word. We're robbing ourselves. We're talking earlier today, and we're talking about what we do as a people. We know not much. I'm telling you, you ask some church folks about sanctification and they ramble on. And justification, and they can't explain. Some folks can't even lead somebody to Christ through using the Roman road. Some folks don't even know what a Roman road is when it comes to salvation. But they're ready to tell you about politics and to tell you what's happening, but when it comes to the word, they're blank. How can you live a sanctified and holy life but not knowing the word of God? A carpenter is good with his saw and his hammer. A lawyer know the law. I'm talking to somebody. A chemist know the chemicals that he mixed. How much then must a Christian not know the word and live by the word? For us to have a character, not only do we know, have to have a need for the word, but a need for the prompting of the Spirit of God. When last have the Holy Ghost spoke to you? When last has he prompt you? Has he nudged you any time lately about a move that you're about to make, a step or a choice or a plan you're about to design? Have the Holy Ghost enter into your thought process and says, change that, or spoke to you about somebody? I know what I'm talking about. You see, the Acts church of the prompting of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit must lead individuals, lead our lives. If we are going to have character, we must be led of the Holy Spirit. He must prompt us. Not our mind alone, but God must pull up beside us and say something in our ears that caused us to turn around as if somebody spoke to us. God still speaks. But are we listening? Do we obey him? And I like when the Lord speaks to me. And I encourage him to speak. So that means I have to zip it and listen. I got two ears and one mouth, so I use it accordingly. Hear more than I speak. Listen to God. Because he wants his time to talk to me. I don't know everything. He knows all things. He designed tomorrow before he came on the scene. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My tomorrow is his yesterday. So I got to hear from him and listen to him. But you want character. You want to build a life of character. You must know the word and have a prompting of the Spirit of God in you. You must have a need for wise counseling. There are those around us who can tell us a thing or two. I like to listen to elderly people, to seniors. We are growing a generation don't like to listen to seniors at all. They think they have it all together. And the error of their ways is foolishness, because the seniors have been down that road before. And they can tell you a trick or two. If you listen up enough, you will guide you away from the mess that they made. But no, we think we know it all. And we don't want wise counseling. But I love to listen to those who are older than I am. They can give me some pointers. It may not sound nice at the time, but I can adjust my hearing and adjust my life journey and put some things in reverse sometimes and take a baggage, a load from them and be able to help me on my way. Wise counseling is imperative, important to develop good character. I must listen to my father and my mother and those above me in the Lord. And therefore we must listen to our pastor. Hear him out. He's one shepherd. One shepherd. Listen up. By that we can lead and move forward. But when everybody wants to run ahead, it's what's called a rat race. But when we have good leadership and we listen, it's a blessing. Follow on. To develop good character, we must take wise counseling. See, Moses was hearing from his father-in-law. You know, his father-in-law wasn't called by God. He wasn't in Moses' religion. He had his own religion. You know, he's saved. Yes, he's saved. He believed in God. But when he saw what Moses was doing, he says, man, you're foolish, man. You know, see, you go run yourself to death. These people, they kill you. Yeah. Yeah, man. A holy Patrick Phillips, they kill you. Stubborn, heady, high-minded, selfish, kill you, brother. So get some leaders. And he took wise counseling. I mean, can you imagine if Moses didn't do that? This was the same guy that tell God, if you kill one more, kill me, take me, me quit. Challenge God, you know. If you touch one more, take me out. Blow me life out. And you know God could do that, right? What are we? Dust. And you're gone. We are dust. You know, some of us act like we are gold, right? Can I remind you, we are dust. All God have to do is just blow. And we cease to exist. One writer said we are grass. One said we are dust. You know, coming like we're much anyway. Last time I checked, they said about 38 cents for the valley of dust that we have. Well, think about it. When they cremate is one little jar, and you go down to Home Depot and buy a flower pot for $1 something with flowers in it. Hello. And you have your degree and you act like you're hot. It does. God blow you out. And Moses got tired of them another time. And this time he called them, you rebel drink. I curse him, curse him. You don't know, you don't know. Him strike the rock instead of speaking. Oh no, drink. Call them rebel. I don't know if he, what word him used, but he said, drink. Get him get mad and upset. The same people, I'm telling you, they send you to your grave early. See there, you don't have much ear upon him head, and what him have is gray. Hello. I know I'm talking about. We love you. Love you anyway. Wise counseling for good character. Have the word, prompting of the spirit, wise counseling, and a inner peace. I want to close up on this one. I know. Close up on this one. Inner peace. Above everything else, it's good to know on the inside is settled. The turmoils are around me, but inside is settled. And only the Holy Ghost can give that foundation. Only the Holy Spirit and the Word and wise counsel can give you that sanctum of peace that can put within you something that calm you down. I'm not talking about Rolaid. No. I'm not talking about anything you get from the pharmacy. I'm talking about something that enters in your spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, that settles you down. When the things get red hot, Holy Ghost causes it to step back and calm you down. Inner peace. Inner peace. I give anything to get inner peace. I'm telling you, people got money and they can't sleep well at night. But I can tell you this, because of the Holy Ghost, you can bring your problems. I go home and sleep. Inner peace. Something that makes me know God has it under control. Why am I worrying about it? There is no worrying and fretting in the Bible. No! God says, I come to give you peace. And peace you can't afford. And the world can't give it. Whatever I give to you, the world can't buy this. I'm telling you, inner peace, satisfaction, deep within the crevices of the soul that causes to calm. If you didn't have inner peace, I'm telling you, we'll lose our mind a lot of times. You'd have picked me up down as a King's County psychiatric ward. You'd have seen me walk around and I scratch my head and smile to myself. But because of the glory and the power of the Holy Ghost, I'm balanced. Hadn't been for Jesus on my side, I'd be walking up and down, picking out garbage out of the garbage can and drinking somebody else's drink and left. But thanks be to God, there is inner peace. And that helps me to build character. Oh yes. Sometimes I lose it. You hear me, sir? I lose it. Oh God, I don't want to give somebody peace of my mind. I want to give them the whole of it. I want to let it off. I want to tell you like I should tell you. But it's the grace of God caused me to coil up in a corner and say, Jesus, help me. So when you see me come Sunday, you know me coming out of God's closet because I never want to come. Hey, I never want to go through those doors, no. But it's the grace of God keeping my head up. I can pull up like me a big shot. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know where I'm coming from. But it's an inner peace. Through the Holy Ghost. And in the Word. Gosh. In the Word of God. And listen to some wise counsel. And allow the Holy Ghost to talk to me. I can come in Sunday morning. I can come in Sunday morning. And ready to take on the war. I know I'm not fighting you. It's the devil fighting me. It's the devil want to destroy you and I. It's the devil want to break us up into pieces. No, it's not you. It's the devil. He don't like nothing that God had going on. That's good. He won't mess us up. But it's the Holy Ghost that keeps me together and bring me into His presence. And give me inner peace. Glory! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus! Bless your name! So after 50 years, I got to retire after 50 years of serving at Church Avenue. I don't have no car, I don't have much pension, but I have a stick. That's all holding me up. It's the Holy Ghost kept me for 50 years. And when I look, I see Junior, who was 3. I bless him right here. I see him married. And see him have a house after 50 years. You know what keep me? It's the grace of God. It's the Holy Ghost. Hold me. I'm talking about Sister Anne, who not like me, but watch her. She get married. I bless her and her children them. Hello, somebody. I bury her husband. I help with the funeral after 50 years. And see me here. A kid me have moving around. And she's doing better. She married again. Hello, so can I talk to somebody in this place after 50 years? Hello, somebody. What God helped me with. It's the Holy Ghost that keep me alive. I have to stop because the children don't want to come to church no more. Our church people did to them. They find some other church gone too. Was so holy and quiet. Holy and quiet church. And all the tongues we speak here couldn't hold them after 50 years. Let me tell you something, church. It's the Holy Ghost that wrap us up and keep us and soothe us in the night and bring us through our tears and give us something to rejoice about. God bless you, Pastor Joseph and Sister Amy and the children. God bless you, Church Avenue, as you continue to honor your pastor. Show him you love him because God has sent him.
to bless you. God bless you.